Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
You're very welcome to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast today, and we thank you for joining with us, and we pray as you do that God will bless you. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful blessings to us. We praise Thee that we can come into Thy presence through the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son who was given and the child that was born there at Bethlehem. We do praise Thee and rejoice that in the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And we praise Thee today that He did all that was necessary to redeem us unto Thee. And we thank Thee He finished the work, and He cried with the conqueror's shout, "It is finished." And we come before Thee today in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done. We thank Thee that we're met around the precious Word of God, and we ask that Thy Spirit would open up Scriptures that we may see the Savior, and that we would know the comfort of understanding more about who He is and what He has accomplished for us. We pray for any that sorrow today, any that have problems and difficulties and heartaches, meet that need. We pray for each one of us that we may be challenged and, if needed, comforted through the preaching of Thy Word. And so we ask, gracious God, that Thou would now send Thy Holy Spirit to our meeting, that Christ would be glorified, Thy people built up, and any who know not Thee as Savior may even come to know Thee through the Scriptures. For it's in Christ's name and for His glory we would ask it. Amen. We're going to read in Scripture from the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. May God bless this reading of his own infallible, precious word for his glory. We're now going to have our second hymn, See in Yonder Manger Low. This is a hymn that describes the shepherd's experience the very night the Savior was born in Bethlehem. Genesis chapter 3 and 15 is the first Christmas promise given in Scripture. There in the Garden of Eden stood our first parents, guilty, condemned, awaiting God's sentence upon them. But as God addressed Satan and pronounced judgment upon him, our first parents listening in heard this great gospel promise, the promise that a child described as the seed of woman would be born, the promise that there would be a great conflict between Satan and this promised deliverer, and also that the deliverer would conquer over Satan. The Lord said to Satan, You will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. Have you ever thought upon the Savior's heel, the first part of his body to be mentioned in Scripture? Maybe you don't often think of your own heel. You would if it had pain. I remember visiting a young at heart 97-year-old a few days before Christmas. She said that she had an extremely painful heel. We joked together because it was pointed out that the other heel was just as old, so it couldn't be her old age that caused the pain. But we sat together and I read to her the great verse, Genesis 3:15, and I shared with her some thoughts about the heel of our Saviour, the heel of He who is termed the seed of woman. Think about the wonder of the heel, the wonder of the heel. Every baby's heel is a wonder. I'm sure you've held a little child not long born, and that heel just fits into the palm of your hand, and you wonder at the miracle of birth. It's interesting that Job talked in his book about the print on his heel, the print on his heel. And we actually have a footprint of one of our children when they were born, because the amazing thing is everyone's footprint is unique, just as fingerprints are. The wonder of a heel. But when we think of the Saviour's heel, we bow in awesome wonder. For that tiny heel that Mary held there in the palm of her hand is none other than her God, the Creator, the Great I Am, the second person of the Trinity. Because that child she held there, born in Bethlehem that night, is none other than God in human flesh. In the councils of eternity, God the Son covenanted to come into this world and take a human nature and a human body and to accomplish all that was necessary to redeem a people unto Himself. Think of the wonder of our Savior's heel. The prophecy in Genesis 3 and 15 talks about a unique child. You see, he was called the seed of woman. That's a unique expression. The Bible often talks about the seed of man, but this is the only place the seed of woman. His birth was unique. He had a miraculous conception. This is the virgin birth. A human mother, and he is a man just like us, but no human father, born without sin. The wonder of his heel. He took that human body in order to be our Savior. Who is he in yonder stall? 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. Or, low within a manger lies, he who built the starry skies, he who throned in heights sublime, sits amid the cherubim. The wonder of his heel, but then think of the walk of his heel. His heel walked the dusty roads of Israel. His heel knew pain. His heel as a child, a young boy, would have ran the streets of Nazareth. His heel went through the country doing good, preaching the gospel. But unlike our heels, his heel never led him into sin. He always walked in the paths of righteousness, for he did no sin, he knew no sin, and in him was no sin. You see, the walk of his heel, well, he was absolutely righteous. Isaiah, in his book, in chapter 52 and 7, gave a further prophecy of the promised deliverer, and he said this: "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth salvation." And that was referring specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ, born that night in Bethlehem. But the first Christmas promise in Genesis 3:15 has specifically to do with the wounding of his heel. We're told by God, "I will put enmity." That means hatred, a conflict, a battle between you and the seed of woman. There will be a God-ordained conflict that will take place. Satan, you will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. The heel is very sensitive to pain. I remember many years ago when my wife and I were missionaries in Papua New Guinea, the people did not wear shoes. We lived away in the rainforest, and there were large, large thorns, larger than any we have here in our country. And one day, one of the chiefs came in great agony because a large thorn had penetrated through his heel. Now, the foot was like leather because they didn't wear shoes, but it had pierced right through, deep into the heel. And I can still picture my wife getting the medical equipment and so on, and the man's agony as my wife cut in to the heel to seek to draw the thorn out of the heel. I still feel the pain when I think about it. But the pain here at the heel is described as a snake bite. The old serpent is pictured as biting the heel of our Savior. I think back again many years ago to a time when an Australian teacher was teaching in a local school near where we were living for a few months, and we got news he had been bitten by a death adder. Just within a few moments, he was vomiting. He was in extreme agony. He was taken the 8 miles to a hospital, and the medical staff actually broke the lock on the room that stored the medicine to get him an antidote. And then they had to travel miles to get another one. I was with him a week after it happened, and his ankle down to his heel was still badly swollen, though most of the pain had gone. The snake bite. Now, of course, this is symbolic. Our Savior did suffer physical pain, yes. But that idea of the serpent bruising the heel of our Savior describes not only the physical, but the emotional, and indeed the mental, and the spiritual pain that our Savior bore. You see, Satan attacked our Savior. In a sense, before he was even born, he tried to wipe out the Jewish nation so that he wouldn't be born the Messiah. And then after his birth, Satan stirred up Herod to kill the children, hoping to kill the one born at Bethlehem. Then later on, people in Nazareth attempted to cast our Savior over the cliff. But of course, Satan failed. But at Calvary, Satan launched his fierce attack upon the Savior. He stuck his fangs, if you like, into our Savior's heel. Can you imagine the pain of that? Now, we think of that hymn written, of course, by an Ulster writer. It tells, she also wrote once in David's Royal City. And she put it this way in another hymn: "We may not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there." Yes, we can't enter into the intensity of the pain our Savior suffered, but we thank God we know it was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was pierced, his hands and his feet. But the great miracle is this: not only the wonder of his heal, not only the walk of his heel and this wounding of his heel, but thank God his heel won the victory. His heel won the victory. Because the first gospel promise was, verse 15 of Genesis 3, that the seed of woman shall bruise Satan's head, shall crush Satan's head. Now, the prophecy, the promise in Genesis 3:15, it's describing primarily that event on Calvary. It's the one event. You see the old snake, the serpent, striking at our Savior's heel. Ah, but thank God, yes, it caused pain, but there Christ's heel comes down and crushes Satan's head and defeats him and destroys him. That's the picture that's in this promise. And that is what happened spiritually at Calvary. In and through his sufferings and death, our Savior has defeated Satan, sin, and death for all who trust in him as their personal Lord and Savior. Have you? Have you? Do you know your sins have been dealt with at Calvary? That your sins have been paid, that the wrath of God against your sin has been satisfied in Christ? He won. His heel, as it were, won the victory. And he was able to cry with the shout of a conqueror, "It is finished." And that was fulfilling the first Christmas promise. He won the victory. God planned this event. God promised it. And of course, our Savior performed it there in Calvary. And we rejoice that because of the Savior won the victory. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is so true. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Christ, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you know the truth of that verse? That your sins have been placed upon Christ, and all his righteousness has been credited or put to your account, and God sees you now as the judge of all, as in Christ, declared righteous, justified by faith. The sad thing is, at this Christmas time, many will have no thought of Christ. Others will have some thoughts. They may even sing a few lines of one or two Christmas carols. But yet, they don't understand why Christ was born. They may have an emotional feeling about a baby in a manger, but oh, they don't know what it is to be able to sing, "It was down at the feet of Jesus, where I brought my guilt and sin, that he cancelled all my transgressions and salvation entered in." One more about the heel. Think about the worship at his heel. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, addressed men who were there when Christ was crucified and indeed had cried for his death, and he reminded them of the prophecy in Psalm 110. And it referred, of course, to how Christ, yes, died, but rose again and is exalted. And he quoted that God the Father speaks to God the Son, our Savior, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." A footstool is where a king on his throne would place his heels. And subjects and even enemies would come and get down before the king's feet at his heel, expressing submission. Of course, sometimes it expressed worship, and there are verses of that in Scripture. Psalm 99:5, "Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy." And of course, one day, every knee shall be forced to come to the feet of Christ. Every soul ever born will come to heel, as it were, before our Savior. What a day that will be when his enemies are put under his feet. You remember Joshua got the elders of the people of Israel to put their heel, their foot, upon the heads and the necks of the enemies. It means submission. What a day it'll be when our Savior comes. But those of us who know Christ as Savior, we will fall at his feet and his mercy adore and sing of the blood of the cross evermore. Do you know him personally as Savior? Are you worshiping at his feet? Yes, one day we'll all bow, but until that day, Christians worship at his feet every day. We delight to come before him. You remember Mary of Bethany, her sister Martha, that her brother called Lazarus? It's interesting what when Mary is mentioned three times in Scripture, and every time she's found at the feet of Christ, the feet of the Deliverer. You will find her in Luke chapter 10, and she's there sitting at his feet, waiting at his feet to hear him speak, listening. And then in chapter 11, of course, the brother died. And there you'll find in that chapter, Mary comes and she weeps, it says, at his feet. She wept at his feet. Christ did not answer her questions. Why did you not come sooner? But Mary, as she wept at the Savior's feet, heard the Savior cry with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth," a picture of one day when every believer will be raised. But she also looked into his face, and she saw through the tears our Savior shed that the Savior cared. And then in John chapter 12, you have Mary worshiping at the Savior's feet. when she took expensive perfume and anointed the Saviour's feet. Think about it. The wonder of the Saviour's heel, the walk of his heel, the wounding of his heel, how his heel won the victory. And then think of the worship of his heel. Charles Wesley wrote these wonderful words, "Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the Satan's head." Thank God Satan is a defeated foe. Now, he still attacks the believer. And maybe you're feeling, Christian, the heat of the battle. You're feeling Satan's accusations, the force of his temptations. Well, there's a wonderful promise in the book of Romans. And we're told there, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans 16 and verse 20. Who bruises Satan under our feet? The Christian? Christ. It's Christ in and through the Christian. Gives us victory in our day-to-day life. But thank God, one day, everyone will bow at his feet. Come to him as Savior. And on that day, you will bow in joy. The first Christmas promise. Meditate upon it this Christmas time. Genesis 3 and verse 15. Let us come before the Lord in prayer, and we'll quieten our hearts and seek him. Our Father, we praise thy holy name, that all the Old Testament promises were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank thee that this promise was fulfilled and that he finished the work for which he came into the world to do. And we thank thee that there at Calvary, he did defeat Satan, sin, and death. Lord, enable us every day to worship at thy feet. May we take time to adore him. May we wait upon him. May we come with our sorrows to our Savior's feet. May we constantly worship at his feet. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.